your right hand. You do solemnly swear and affirm that you will support and defend the Constitution of the United States and the Constitution of the State of Alaska and the ordinances of the Petersburg Borough, and that you will honestly, faithfully, and impartially perform the duties of an elected official for the Petersburg Borough to the best of your ability.
Yes.
Former city clerk, now borough clerk, Kathy O'Rear administered the oath of office before Mayor Mark Jensen convened the very first meeting of the Petersburg Borough Assembly.
Call to order the borough meeting.
The new members all served on the former city council. They include semi-retired attorney John Hogue, retired educator and tribal administrator John Haverlick, Nancy Strand, who's retired from construction, and Rockies Marine co-owner Sue Flint. The mayor, Mark Jensen, is a fisherman and welder. As their first order of business, the four assembly members drew lots to see when each of their terms will expire so that the vacancies will be staggered in the coming years. Haverlick's and Strand's terms will expire in 2015, while Flint and Hogue drew 2016. Under the charter, the mayor's term also lasts until the fall of 2016. After that, future mayors and assembly members will get three-year terms. The assembly is also asking for letters of interest from people who would like to fill out the two empty assembly seats, and those terms will expire in the fall of 2014, which is when the borough will have its first regular election. The borough assembly meeting was pretty much the same as a city council meeting in procedure, though the assembly is making one significant change in scheduling, at least for the time being. Haverlick moved that the first of the assembly's two monthly meetings be held at noon instead of the traditional 7 p.m.
And this would also allow people from across the way or out the road to come in and just offer public input while it's still light, and especially during the winter times. I wouldn't mind having both at noon, but I think we should have at least one at one of our meetings at noon.
Meeting access was one of the concerns raised by outlying residents during the debate over borough formation, but Jensen worried it would be hard for people to make day meetings while they're working.
I prefer evening meetings, and my reason, and I know it's not user-friendly so much for people that have to travel across the water. My reason is because of the people at work can attend the meetings. When they're not during their work day, I guess they could take their lunch break to come and attend the meetings.
Pointing out the mostly empty assembly chambers, Strand voiced support for daytime meetings.
You can see the participation now with it at 7 o'clock, and it's not impossible for someone who lives elsewhere to come in. They'd have to come a day ahead and stay overnight, I think that we should make a good faith effort to make it as easy as possible for people who live elsewhere to come without having to stay overnight.
The assembly voted 4-1 to approve the temporary meeting schedule with one of its two monthly meetings at noon. Jensen was opposed. As far as a permanent schedule, staff had recommended the borough hold a separate public meeting to get input on that issue. Flint expanded on that idea, suggesting an open house to welcome borough constituents and discuss a variety of issues.
We have a lot of decisions, and we need more input than just the six of us, I think, as far as APOC filings, special elections, meeting dates and times, and taxes and advisory boards. Do we need them? Do we want to elect them? Do we want to appoint them? Do we want 5 members, 7 members? And I just thought it would be a good time to kind of have a little open house here, have a little coffee or something, and invite the community to come and meet department heads and assembly folks and manager and have a lot of specific questions and take any comments, and be a good way to get information from people.
The assembly and mayor agreed to hold that event next Tuesday from noon to 3. In other business, the assembly voted on its first two ordinances with little comment Monday. They extend a 6% sales tax and a 4% transient room tax or bed tax borough-wide. Both taxes are already in place within the former city limits, and Jensen noted the area-wide taxes are part of the borough plan.
The ordinance adheres to the borough charter and transition plan requirements that the former city of Petersburg transient room tax provisions become area-wide within 90 days of the borough incorporation, and that holds true as well for Ordinance 2013-1, area-wide sales tax.
The Assembly passed the two measures unanimously in the first of their three readings. They also approved the first reading of another measure that lays out the rules for making appointments to vacant borough offices. There are several empty seats. Besides the two Assembly seats, there are seven vacant spots on Planning and Zoning, three on the Hospital Board, and three on the School Board that attracted no candidates during the borough election. Those positions have to be appointed within 45 days of borough formation. As Jensen noted, Petersburg's current advisory boards and their members, which were not on the borough ballot, carry over from the city and can stay in place for up to a year.
The ordinance does not apply to any of the advisory boards or prior city public safety, harbors and ports, library, utility and parks and recreation boards. Per borough charter 1908, Point C, the Assembly has up to 1 year to determine by ordinance if these boards will continue on a borough basis.
In a couple other decisions Monday, the mayor and Assembly unanimously chose Sue Flint to serve as vice mayor. They also agreed on a new seal for the borough of Petersburg. It's a view of six different vessels lined up in the harbor. The logo was created as part of the Petersburg Economic Development Council's community branding effort. It will replace the former city seal, which featured a fishhook and logging axe. In Petersburg, I'm Matt Lichtenstein.